Gentile, born in Messiah, born in Yeshua, born in the olive tree. Jew and Gentile, born in Messiah, born in Yeshua's love.
Okay, stop, hold on. That song is an abomination from the garbage dump of Gehenna. Both of those terms are incorrect. Let's correct this.
Judah and Israel.
One in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree.
Judah and Israel.
One in Messiah, one in Yeshua's love. Help us, Father, to love one another. We humble hearts, forgiving each other. Heal our wounds, bind us together, so the world might believe.
Judah and Israel. Judah and Israel,
one in Messiah, one in Yeshua's love, one in Yeshua's love.
To the saints of the Most High, and to the Gentiles who have been fooled into identifying as Gentiles, greetings in the name of Yeshua the Anointed, and may his divine influence be sparked within you and lead you out of darkness. This is part 5 of Gentiles. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Gentiles is found in the Word Studies menu. If you have not been following along with parts 1 through 4, here is a quick recap of what we've learned. The Latin term gentilis came into the English language around 1300 AD and from the Latin Vulgate. The meaning of the Latin gentilis, the Hebrew goyim, and the Greek ethnos all mean a nation or race of people. The non-Jew meaning was added later and adopted in the 1600s. The translators selectively used the term Gentiles. Many denominations used the term Gentiles to suit their own doctrine. Any use of the term Gentiles with the non-Jew meaning is an abomination and a deceptive tool to lead our people away from their true identity, their heritage, and their deliverance. When one studies the word Gentile and understands the fake non-Jew meaning and applies the fake meaning to Scripture, the contradictions should seem obvious. The descendants of Noah were not divided in their Gentiles. Abram was not going to be made a great Gentile, and Abram was not going to be the father of many Gentiles. Isaac's wife Rebekah was not a Jewess with two baby Gentiles in her womb, and Rebekah was not the mother of the Gentiles. Egypt did not become a Gentile. Yahweh did not set apart the Jews to be a holy Gentile priesthood. Amalek, the grandson of Esau, and the sons of Cain are Jews, and their tribes are called Goyim, proving that Gentiles just means nations. In their case, nations devoted to destruction. The Gentiles did not cross the Jordan into the Promised Land. Joshua did not circumcise all the Gentiles when they crossed the Jordan. Goyim is used to describe the Adamic brothers of Israel, which are supposed to be Jews, but are not. We can clearly see that Israelites are called Goyim in the Apocrypha which has been perverted as well, because Goyim just means nations. In the Maccabees, they put Gentiles where it should read Greeks, which are Goyim as well, because the Greeks are a nation of people, and many are descended from Japheth, a son of Noah, who is not a Jew. In the Psalms, Israel, a Goyim nation, will be cut off from being Gentiles. Isaiah prophesies to the hypocritical Goyim Israelites for being Gentiles. The outcasts that will be assembled of Judah and Israel are Goyim Gentiles. Yahweh is increasing Israelites as a Goyim Gentile nation. The once little nation of Jacob shall become a strong Gentile. The lost Israelites who lost and forgot their heritage are now called Gentiles because they have been fooled into believing they are Gentiles, which is why we are not called his people, but are now because of this Gentile doctrine, and he adopted believers, even though we were always his Goyim. When Zion travailed, a Gentile was born at once. Jeremiah was not the prophet of the Gentiles. When the men of Judah and Jerusalem live in truth, somehow it's not the men of Judah, but the Gentiles that bless themselves in Yahweh. When Yahweh was angry at the house of Judah in Jerusalem for their abominations, he said twice that his soul would be avenged on the Gentiles. Even though Jeremiah was the prophet of our Israelite ancestors and warned them of the coming punishment, the Gentiles are punished instead, probably because God was confused about who was who. Even though Jeremiah was told to speak the words of Yahweh to Jerusalem, somehow it was the Gentiles that did not obey the voice of Yahweh. Even though the children of Israel were doing Yahweh wrong, Yahweh keeps saying he will be avenged on the Gentiles for it. Somehow, the Gentiles have the same fathers as the Israelites who have inherited lies and vanities. Somehow the potter, Yahweh, who made the vessels, the house of Israel, was going to destroy the kingdom and the temple and many of the people, apparently because the Gentiles won't repent. The Israelites served Nebuchadnezzar 70 years, but as Gentiles. Then, after captivity, Yahweh is going to destroy the Babylonians, which, as descendants of Noah, are supposed to be Jews, but apparently are Gentiles. Yes. All these examples show just how ridiculous and false this doctrine of Gentile is. Gentiles are not non-Jews. It simply means nations. The Jews are not Israelites. The Jews are simply the devil's children, literally. And we will continue to expose this Jewish fable and false definition for what it really is, an abomination. We continue in Jeremiah chapter 31, the restoration of Israel, verse 1. Yahweh speaking, "At the same time, says Yahweh, will I be the Elohim of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says Yahweh, the people which were left of the sword found favor in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. Yahweh has appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn you. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the mount of Ephraim," which signifies all Israel, "shall cry, Arise you, and let us go up to Zion unto Yahweh our Elohim. For thus says Yahweh, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish you, praise you, and say, O Yahweh, save your people, the remnant of Israel. The chief of the nations would be Judah, the kingly tribe which also represents Zion, the government of Israel." How could this be talking about Gentiles when the context keeps stating Yahweh's people Israel? Latin words do not belong in the Bible. verse 8, "Behold, I will bring them from the north country, from captivity, and gather them from the coasts of the land, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child and her that travails with child together. A great company shall return here." The remnant of Judah did return to Jerusalem after the 70 years in Babylon. Verse 9, "They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim my firstborn. Hear the word of Yahweh, O you nations, and declare it in the isles afar off," the British Isles, "and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd does his flock." Verse 10 is the fifth time Israel is referred to as "you nations." Only Israel is ever referred to as his sheep, his flock. Many Israelites had already made their way up the coasts and have been settling the white nations of the world. Yahweh scattered Israel and will regather them. That is who the gospel message was to. Matthew 15:24, "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." See how with understanding and knowledge, and with Yahweh's divine influence and opening the eyes and ears, that the dots are easily connected? You should also be seeing how the Gentile doctrine disconnects the dots and turns the haves into the have-nots. By accepting the status of Gentile, you are giving up your true identity and inheritance for a word which doesn't belong in the Bible, resulting in a belief system that turns you into a goat. Jeremiah 31:31, "Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." This is it, the new covenant with the Gentiles. Wrong again. It says, "with the house of Israel and Judah." Verse 32, "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, says Yahweh. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says Yahweh, I will put my Torah in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people." But didn't Yahweh forget to add the Gentiles and the church here? No. It is a new covenant with the house of Israel, a better covenant. The only major thing that changed between the covenants was that in the old covenant, the Levitical priesthood performed the rituals for the people. When Christ died, he became our high priest, and the priesthood expired. No more sacrifices and no more rituals. The law was written in our hearts, and it is up to us individually to repent and obey. The covenants were never made to the other races. The covenants were only to Israel, as stated in verse 31 and throughout the whole Bible. The Bible is by, to, for, and about the Adamic race. It's the churches that teach that this heritage, covenants, and promises are for everyone. But Yahweh chose only Israel. Verse 34, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know Yahweh. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, says Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. Thus says Yahweh, which gives the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divides the sea when the waves thereof roar. Yahweh of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says Yahweh, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. The churches have added themselves to the covenant and done away with the law. And apparently the seed of Israel ceased from being Gentiles. See how foolish church doctrine is? There is just no mention of adding Gentiles and the church to the covenant Yahweh made with the seed of Israel. And Gentiles does not mean non-Jew. Jeremiah 33:23. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiahu, saying, Consider you not what this people have spoken, saying, The two families, Benjamin and Judah, which Yahweh has chosen, he has even cast them off? Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Benjamin and Judah were the two tribes of the southern house of Judah. How could these supposed Jews be Gentiles? They're not, because no Israelite tribe is Jewish, nor does Gentile mean non-Jew. Verse 25, Thus says Yahweh, If my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of the sky and the land, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return, and have great compassion on them. The churches teach that the tribes of Israel disappeared or were absorbed. So the churches have cast away the seed of Jacob, destroyed the covenant between Yahweh and Jacob, and the ordinances of the sky and land are no longer. Well, just as the church's false doctrines are vain and foolish, so is the teaching of scattered Israel being lost in time, the covenant broken and made new with the church and Gentiles becoming children of God by belief and the self-declaration of being saved. Prophecy against Babylon, Jeremiah 50:1. The word that Yahweh spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet, Declare you among the nations, and publish, and set up a battle standard. Publish, and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken. Bel, or Baal, is confounded, or put to shame. Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are put to shame. Her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north, Persia, there cometh up a nation against Babylon, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. In those days, when Persia takes over, and in that time, says Yahweh, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek Yahweh their Elohim. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, Come, and let us join ourselves to Yahweh in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All that found them have devoured them. And their adversaries said, We offend not, because they have sinned against Yahweh, the habitation of justice, even Yahweh, the hope of their forefathers. Remove out of the midst of Babylon, and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans, and be as the he-goats, or leaders, before the flocks. Isaiah 48:20, Go ye forth out of Babylon, flee you from the Chaldeans, with a voice of singing declare you. Tell this, utter it even to the end of the land. Say you, Yahweh has redeemed his servant Jacob. Revelation 18:4, And I heard another voice from the sky, saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. When our people are punished, it's for our own good. Our ancestors were punished by the Babylonians. Punishment prompts the sinner to repentance and to call upon Yahweh. The symbolism also shows that when we continue to sin, we are left to the adversary to deal with us. If it's delusions, bondage, and material stuff we want, then Yahweh will give it to us. Babylon as a nation and country is no more, but Mystery Babylon is going strong, and we are right back in it. Yahweh wants us to trust Him and come up out of this satanic society and partake not of her abominations. Verse 9, For lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From there she shall be taken. Their arrows shall be as of a mighty expert man. None shall return in vain. The Medes and the Persians, which are supposed to be Jews because they are descendants of Adam, who is supposedly a Jew. Friends, may Yahweh reveal to you that these nations were all white Adamic nations, and that you may see that Gentiles just does not fit the puzzle. Yahweh's word is not a mystery if you know the history. In Jeremiah, H1471 is used 87 times as nations, heathen, and Gentiles. Many verses are about how all the nations will be under the yoke of the Babylonians. That included Egypt, Syria, Assyria, Israel and Judah, Persia, even the Jewish Canaanite and Edomite tribes, the whole area. Yahweh was cleaning house during those times, and the wave of the Babylonians was just another punishing or culling rod. So not only was Israel and Judah supposed Jewish people called Gentiles, but also some of those other Adamic nations, which are also supposed to be Jews because they sprung from Adam, the supposed first Jew. Some actual Jewish nations and tribes were under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar too, but as tributaries, not in bondage. As they proudly declared to Yahshua in the New Testament that they have been in bondage to no man, unwittingly giving themselves up as Jews and not Israelites. Adam and his children, the nations that sprung from the sons of Adam, as well as Noah, Abraham, and Isaac and Jacob, his 12 sons and their children, were not Jews. The Gentile doctrine is like trying to get a strainer to hold water. Lamentations 1:10. The adversary has spread out his hand upon all her pleasant things, for she has seen that the heathen entered into her sanctuary, whom you did command that they should not enter into your congregation. The other races are forbidden to enter the congregation, or sanctuary, of the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 23:2, a bastard, or mamzer, shall not enter into the congregation of Yahweh, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of Yahweh. Jeremiah 51:51, we are confounded, because we have heard reproach. Shame has covered our faces, for strangers are come into the sanctuaries of Yahweh's house. If we were Gentiles, we would not even be able to enter into the sanctuaries and congregations of Yahweh's house. He must have changed his mind in the New Testament, though, and broke his word to let the Gentiles and the church in. The further into this study we go, the more you should be seeing just how absurd the use of Gentiles is. In Lamentations, H1471 is used 7 times as nations, heathen, and Gentiles. Ezekiel 2:3. And he said unto me, Son of Adam, I send you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation, that they have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. The context is the children of Israel. So was Israel a rebellious Gentiles? If H 1471 means non-Jew, why is God calling supposed Jews non-Jews? Because Gentiles does not mean non-Jew. It simply means a nation, a race, or a people. Depending on context, Goyim, H 1471, can refer to any nation, race, or people, including Jews. And the children of Israel are not Jews. If Adam was a Jew, then so would Noah be, his son Shem, Shem's son Asher, and the nation of Assyria. The Assyrians were not hook-nosed, sheeny Jews. They were straight-nosed, white, Adamic men and racial kinsmen to the children of Israel. All Israelites are Adamites, but all Adamites are not Israelites. Our race is the race of Adam, which is defined as a ruddy man, able to blush, to flush, or turn rosy, and is described as pure, white as snow, fair, and comely. If you were a detective looking for a group of people out of all the races and only had these definitions and descriptions to go by, what race of people would you know you need to look for? We have been taught not to use our common sense, and through ignorance, deception, and plain stupidity, we have been unwittingly serving the wrong master. Chapter 31 is a look back at the Assyrians and their glory. The Assyrians were of the tribe of Asher, a son of Shem. Ezekiel 31:2. Son of Adam, speak to Pharaoh, king of Mitzrayim, which is Egypt, and to his multitude. Whom are you like in your greatness? Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches, and with a shadowing shroud, shade-giving thicket, and of a high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs. The Assyrians overshadowed the Egyptians. Lebanon is a mountain range on the northern border of Israel. Lebanon means whiteness. It is symbolic of a white nation kingdom. The Assyrians were white men, Shemites, of the tribe of Asher. Verse 4. The waters made him great. The deep, referring to the branch of the Nile, set him up on high with her rivers running round about his plants, and sent out her little rivers unto all the trees of the field. Therefore his height was exalted above all the trees of the field, and his boughs were multiplied, and his branches became long because of the multitude of waters when he shot forth. All the fowls of the sky made their nests in his boughs, and under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young, and under his shadow, a symbol of protection, dwelt all the great nations. The fowls and the beasts of the field are references to all the different nations in that land at that time, which would have been Adamite nations, Israelite nations, Canaanite nations, Edomite nations, etc. Some were non-Jews, some were Jews. Gentiles does not mean non-Jew. It is a deliberately and strategically placed Latin word in a Hebrew text and given a non-scriptural meaning. Verse 7. Thus was he fair, meaning to be bright, beautiful, handsome, in his greatness, in the length of his branches, for his root was by great or abundant waters. They were healthy, strong Adamic men with good seed, and the nation was fruitful and multiplied, just as Yahweh said in the garden about the race of Adam. Verse 8. The cedars in the garden of Elohim could not hide him. The fir trees were not like his boughs, and the chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of Elohim was like unto him in his beauty. The garden of Elohim is a reference to our race, wherever the race of Elohim dwelt. America is, or was, the garden of Elohim. Canada, New Zealand, Australia, and Europe were gardens of Elohim. Now, we are a garden variety, genetically modified, decomposing tossed salad. The branch of our race, the Assyrians, became a huge kingdom in their time. All the other Genesis 10 nations were not as great in number. Verse 9, I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him. Therefore, thus says Yahweh Elohim, because you have lifted up yourself in height, and he has shot up his top among the thick boughs, and his heart is lifted up in his height, I have therefore delivered him into the hand of the mighty one of the heathen. He shall surely deal with him. I have driven him out for his wickedness. This is speaking of Nebuchadnezzar. The Assyrian Empire was conquered by the Babylonian Empire. Verse 12. And strangers, the terrible of the nations, have cut him off and have left him. Upon the mountains and in all the valleys his branches are fallen, and his boughs are broken by all the rivers of the land, and all the people of the land are gone down from his shadow, or protection, and have left him. The Assyrian Empire disintegrated through this coalition of different armies, the Medes, Scythians, and Babylonians. The Israelite Scythians played part in the fall of Assyria. In verse 11, heathen, correctly translated, would be nations, and a reference to the white Adamic nations of the Scythians, Medes, and Babylonians. The word strangers in verse 12 is Zur, H21:14, to turn aside, profane, commit adultery, go away. These Scythians would be estranged Israelites, some from the children of Jacob who were raised up outside the lands of Israel and Judah and educated in the ways other than Yahweh's way. The Assyrians got proud and were humbled, fat and lazy. Remember when Sennacherib, king of Assyria, mocked God and his power? Well, he was brought down and killed in his own land by his own children. Verse 13, upon his ruin shall all the fowls of the sky remain, and all the beasts of the field shall be upon his branches, to the end that none of all the trees by the waters exalt themselves for their height, neither shoot up their top among the thick boughs, neither their leaders stand up in their height, all that drink water. For they are all delivered unto death, to the nether parts of the land, in the midst of the children of Adam, with them that go down into the grave. Each wave of each conquering empire is the rod of Yahweh cleaning house. Every abominable and pagan nation was brought down. This included all the nations, Adamite, Israelite, Canaanite, and Edomite. The black, Mexican, and Asian nations are not mentioned because they were not in these areas or even in Scripture. Verse 15. Thus says Yahweh Elohim, in the day when he, Asher, went down to the grave, I caused a mourning. I covered the deep for him, and I restrained the streams thereof, and the great waters were stayed. And I caused Lebanon to mourn for him, and all the trees of the field fainted for him. I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall, when I cast him down to the grave, with them that descend into the pit, and all the trees of Eden, meaning the descendants of Noah, the choice and best of Lebanon, all that drink water shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth. Could this be a reference to Luke 16:24, where the dead are either in Abraham's bosom or on the other side of the gulf? All meet in the land of the dead, but only the ones that drink water, or followed Yahweh, shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth. Didn't Christ preach to these righteous captives? Verse 17, they also, the descendants of Noah, went down into hell, or the grave, with him, the Assyrians, unto them that be slain with the sword, and they that were his arm, or supporters, that dwelt under his protection in the midst of the heathen. To whom are you thus like in glory and in greatness among the trees of Eden? Yet shall you be brought down with the trees of Eden unto the nether parts of the earth. You shall lie in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that be slain by the sword. This is Pharaoh, and all his multitude, says Yahweh Elohim. Assyria conquered Egypt, and though Assyria was bigger and badder than Egypt, their dead joins the dead of Egypt in the same place. Prophecy against Seir, the mountain of the Edomite Jews. The name Seir is also a metaphor to describe the children of Esau wherever they go. Ezekiel 35:1. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of Adam, set your face against Mount Seir, and prophesy against it. And say unto it, Thus says Yahweh Elohim, Behold, O Mount Seir, I am against you, and I will stretch out my hand against you, and I will make you most desolate. I will lay your cities waste, and you shall be desolate, and you shall know that I am Yahweh, because you have had a perpetual hatred, and has shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time that their iniquity had an end. Here is another proof showing from the mouth of Yahweh and from the mouth of the Jew that the Jews are not Israelites. Edom is in modern Jewry, the Jewish Encyclopedia, 1925 edition, volume 5, page 41, and Genesis 36:8, thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. Verse 6, Therefore, as I live, says Yahweh Elohim, I will prepare you unto blood, and blood shall pursue you, since you have not hated blood, or sinned even to blood. Even blood shall pursue you. Thus will I make Mount Seir most desolate, and cut it off from him that passes out, and him that returns. Yahweh is talking about the Edomite Jews, who are not Israelites. They shed the blood of the children of Israel, and still do. Not only shed it, but drink it. Where do you think the 100,000 children who go missing every year end up? The Jew media would have you believe they are runaways. 100,000 runaways a year? Really? You can almost hear their cries from the bellies of these devils, and you can almost bet we've all eaten the children of our own race mixed in with the food, which the Jews own all the food companies now. They even use our own biosolids to fertilize the very plants we eat. Verse 8, And I will fill his mountains with his slain men, in your hills And in your valleys, and in all your rivers, shall they fall that are slain with the sword. I will make you perpetual desolations, and your cities shall not return, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. Because you have said, these two nations, and these two countries, or lands, shall be mine, and we will possess it, although Yahweh was there. These two nations would be the houses of Israel and Judah, and their two kingdoms. So, the houses of Israel and Judah, which are supposed to be Jews, are Gentiles? No. Jews are not of the house of Israel or Judah. They are of the house of Cain and of Esau. Now, since these Edomite Jews said God's people and their lands shall be theirs, verse 11, therefore, as I live, says Yahweh Elohim, I will do even according to your anger and according to your envy, which you have used out of your hatred against them, Israel and Judah. And I will make myself known among them when I have judged you. Matthew 7:2, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you mete, it shall be measured to you again. James 2:13, for he shall have judgment without mercy, that showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. Verse 12, and you shall know that I am Yahweh, and that I have heard all your blasphemies which you have spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are laid desolate, they are given to us to consume. The Edomite Jews moved in when Judah was taken into Babylonian captivity. This is how they later infiltrated and overtook the priesthood of Israel by the time of Christ. The Sadducees were all Edomites, and the Pharisees were mostly all Edomite, save Nicodemus, Paul, Uncle Joe of Ramathaim, and a few others. Verse 13, thus, with your mouth, you, Jews, have boasted against me, and have multiplied your words against me, and I have heard them. The Jews' Bible, the Talmud, says that even God asks the advice of a Jew rabbi before making a decision. So in verse 10, Yahweh is not talking about two Gentiles. He is talking about the two houses of Judah and Israel, which the Edomite Jews declared would be theirs to plunder and possess. When you see the deception of the Latin word gentilis placed strategically in H. 1471, Scripture will make more sense, because it doesn't work everywhere, just like none of their Jewish lies work in every case. The truth always exposes the lie. You can't expose the lie if you don't know the truth, and you definitely will never get the truth if you continue to sit in your own pew, claiming you're saved and worshiping Jaime Jesus. In Ezekiel, H. 1471 is used 87 times as nations, heathen, and Gentiles. Most uses are of the word heathen because it's referring to the pagan nations surrounding the lands of Israel and Judah. But many of those nations were Adamic kinsmen to Israel, and some were the cursed seed Jewish tribes as well. So we see the use of H. 1471 Goyim used for Israelite nations, pagan Adamic nations, and cursed seed Jewish nations, which again proves that the Latin word Gentiles does not mean non-Jew. There are a lot of statements that the nations and the heathen shall know that Yahweh is the Elohim of Israel, that Yahweh chastises his people, and redeems them, and delivers them, and loves them. This is because Yahweh has chosen the seed of Jacob as his special people, peculiar, anointed, and chosen above all people. He didn't change his mind and choose Gentiles and their churches too. Daniel 8:15. And it came to pass, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then, behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, Understand, O son of Adam, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Referring to the end of the 70 years captivity. Verse 18. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face towards the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. And he said, Behold, I will make you to know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. The indignation is the end of Yahweh's wrath and punishment on Judah, and the time appointed would be the decree of Koresh, or Cyrus, for the remnant of Judah to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls, city, and temple. Daniel 10:1 is the clue which backs up the vision of Daniel being shown the end of the captivity is near and the return of the Judahites. Daniel 10:1. In the third year of Cyrus, or Koresh, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. Daniel was an old man at the end of the captivity, and did not make it back to Jerusalem with the remnant. Verse 20, the ram, which you saw having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. The Medes and the Persians conquered the Babylonians. Koresh was the king of the Persians. Verse 21, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king, Alexander. And look, Grecia is H3120 Yavan, which is Javan, a son of Japheth. So even Alexander the Great was a Jew? No. These are all white Adamic nations and peoples. Verse 22. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. Alexander's generals were not as powerful as Alexander was. This means that the four kingdoms would not be ruled by Alexander's own children and, in fact, his generals murdered his wife and only son and divided the empire between them. The four kingdoms into which it was divided were Greece and Macedonia, ruled by Cassander, Thrace and Western Asia Minor, ruled by Lysimachus, Syria and other Asian territories, ruled by Antigonus, Egypt, ruled by Ptolemy. Later, another general, Seleucus, overthrew Antigonus and took over most of his kingdom, building Antioch in Syria as his capital. The book of Daniel is probably the hardest book to get a solid grip on. There could be a few possibilities of what this is referring to, such as possibly the relationship between Frederick II, the Great, and Pope Gregory, or possibly Antiochus Epiphanes, king of Syria from 175 to 163 BC. But what is certain is that we need to banish the word Gentile wherever it is inserted. Daniel 11:23. And after the league was made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall be strong with a small people. It would sound weird and totally wrong if it said, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small Gentiles. The Second Advent, There remain only three verses of prophecy at the beginning of chapter 12 that have not yet been fulfilled. Daniel 12:1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book of life. The Geneva reads, such as never was since there began to be a nation unto that same time. The Israelites did not begin to be a Gentile. They sprung from the 12 sons of Jacob into the multitude of white nations around the world today, which are now controlled by Jews and are being overrun by aliens. Now, our once white Christian Israelite nations are satanic playgrounds, and our people are the Jewish Jesus-worshipping walking dead. In Daniel, H. 1471 Goyim is used three times as nation and people. Hosea 8:8. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure, a worthless vessel. So if the Jews are Israel and we are Gentiles, why don't the Gentile churches see the Jews as a worthless vessel? Aren't the churches sending money to Israel? Doesn't our corporation called the United States of America sending them billions a year? Isn't Germany and other nations paying them for war crimes which they didn't commit? Aren't we reminded every year of an imaginary holohoax which was real in the mind of a Jew but not in reality or even possible? Doesn't everybody stand with Israel and the Jewish people? We sure love their movies and entertainment and acting. We love their fake news. We love the education they teach us or don't teach us. We love the medication and sugar they hook us on. We love their fiat money and usury thumb on our heads. We love being sprayed with chemtrails, poisons, metallics, dried blood cells, and viruses. We love drinking fluoride and petrochemicals. We love letting them take our constitutional rights away when they carry out their false flag events. We love being microwaved by their 5G high-frequency kill grid, which will react with all the nanotechnology and nanofibers they've been spraying in the air and putting in our food and body lotions. We love having our eyes fried by the blue light LED coming out of the Talmud vision while it suppresses the melatonin production in our bodies. We love their immunizations and sterilizations and eugenics agendas. We love their pornography and gambling and all their merchandise and stuff they offer. We love their version of scripture, and we especially love their Jewish Jesus. No, it doesn't sound like the Jews are worthless vessels to us. But I will tell you who is a worthless vessel to all the nations. We are. White people are hated everywhere. Yeshua told us we would be hated for his name's sake. Noah's son Shem comes from the Hebrew word shame, and it means name. Israelites are from the line of Shem. Semites are white people. Adam was a white man, as was all his children, which Christ also is one of, as are we. Gentiles simply means a nation or race of people in Latin. Verse 8, Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. Now shall they be among the nations. The children of Israel were taken away captive and relocated in northern Mesopotamia and along the Black and Caspian Seas. These were the nations of the Medes, Persians, Assyrians, and other related white peoples of Genesis chapter 10. It is from these places that after a few generations, they would emerge as Cimmerians, Scythians, Sacae, Parthians, and other names by which they have been called. Verse 9, for they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim has hired lovers, or allies. The Israelites became whores and idolaters with these pagan nations. Verse 10, yea, though they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them, and they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of officers. Yahweh regathers his people after their punishment and banishment through the gospel. But the churches teach that these verses say that Israel is swallowed up, absorbed by the nations, and even disappeared. In Hosea, H1471 is used three times as nations and Gentiles. Hopefully, you are seeing the Gentile farce for what it is, a deception. Hopefully, you can see that the Jews were never as numerous as the stars and have never brought the gospel to the world. They have only brought lies, deceptions, and chaos. They have tricked you into believing you are a Gentile and left you no trace of your true identity because they control the flow of information. They have turned the scriptures, gospel message, and word of God upside down so that their evils are as above as well as below. Look towards heaven, seek Yahweh, ask for his truth to set you free. Even if Yahweh chooses not to reveal his mysteries to you, you should still be able to see it is the white race that is numbered as the stars and the ones who brought the gospel to the world.
Look toward heaven and number the stars. If you are able to number them, hey Abraham, look toward heaven and number the stars. If you are able to number them, so shall your offspring be. So shall your offspring be.
Which proves that they're not Jews, because they're not numbered as the stars.
So Abraham had Isaac, Isaac had Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And Israel had many sons, 12 to be precise. And they would be the fathers of the Israelites.
Which you are too, if you're white.
They were Reuben and Simeon, Levi and Judah, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher, Issachar and Zebulun, Joseph and little Benji. These are the 12 sons of Israel, God's promise fulfilled. These are the 12 tribes of Israel, through them God blessed the world. These are the 12 sons of Israel,
called Goyim in the Old Testament.
These are the 12 tribes,
called Ethnos and Hellen in the New Testament.
But how would God bless the world through these 12 sons? Well, a descendant of Judah would come. He'd come to save us from our sins. To save us from our sins. And rule us. And rule us. With perfect righteousness. Of Nazareth, born of a virgin, God in human form, sent from the